Harvey's telling me he's giving me lots of room, and our good friend left me an apple. I love it. You know, I've made it so much easier because one of the hardest things that I've ever found to get up here is getting started. You know, and as a result of that, I kind of, over the last couple or 3 weeks, I've been watching people. And of course, one of the ones that I watch is Pastor Mike. And a couple of weeks ago, I saw him come up here and unbutton his buttons and roll up his sleeves. And then last week, I saw him kind of push up his sleeves and everything. Well, I tried it, and my bumbled fingers, I couldn't get my cuffs undone, so I couldn't roll those up. Couldn't straighten a tie because I wasn't wearing a tie. And so then I thought about these others, you know, and I thought, I've been watching a lot of shows here and watching Francis Chan. I see him, he gets up and he gets a stool and sits on it and he grabs his podium and keeps himself stable on that stool and goes, well, they wouldn't let me have a stool, so I just grab hold of the podium and hang on. You know, it just seems like no matter what we do to get started, there's just never a right way or a wrong way. But this morning, I've come upon one thing that I really felt like I needed to do. I came in here last Thursday after setting up and getting ready to speak, and I have to really thank Pastor Mike for the opportunity to do this because it really stretches you and it puts you out there where you don't really feel that comfortable, but I think God wants you to be there. So we're going to do it, and we're going to hang on. God's going to give us the power. He's going to get us there. But I came in Thursday, and I got to, and I says to the guys up top, I says, I've been studying everything in the New King James Version. I says, do we have that? And Gary says, no, but we will. And then Tom comes up, and he says, but he says, how are you going to feel more comfortable? He says, do you want the little mic around the ear? Do you want to hold on to a mic? What do you want to do? How can I make it easier for you? You know, and they just did everything they could to make this a little easier for me. And then this morning, the worship. I don't know about you, but I just enjoyed the heck out of it. Let's give them all a praise offering this morning because it was great. You know, like I said, as I looked through and I watched everyone do different things in different ways to get started, they all had one thing in common. And that was the one thing that I want to do this morning too. They all started off in prayer. So let's go to the Lord. Father God, we do thank you so much for the opportunity that we can come, Father, and for the opportunity that you've given us through your word, and Father, that we might be able to take the portion of the word that you have just given to me and placed upon my heart this week, Father, that we might be able to just look at it and that we might be able to put it to work in our lives, Father, that your light might shine and that your glory may be shown throughout, for we just give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. A big part of what I want to say this morning, you probably all heard before, maybe in different ways. In fact, is I'm sure it's going to be in different ways because my way has never been the way that everyone else goes. But this is where God has led me, and I've discovered as I've walked with God here the last, let's just say for the last year or two, that it's best to go there. So here we go. As I was studying, I came upon this question. It says, how committed is your life to the church? Church is God's way of reaching the world. What we do inside the church really does matter. Just think about all the different events, different programs that are run throughout the church. You know, last night we had a wonderful Valentine's dinner. You know, and we have our Sunday school, and we have our all kinds of things that are going through. And these events and these programs run week in, week out, and they touch many people. But programs are not what makes a church, are they? They're important, but they're not what keeps the church healthy and together. In Sunday school, a few weeks ago, we were going through and we looked at the one another's in God's Word. And we found them all over God's Word. Let me share a few of them with you, because I had quite a little list that we went through. And it said, being members of one another, being devoted to one another, honoring one another, being of the same mind as one another, edifying one another, accepting one another, waiting for one another, serving one another, caring, bearing, being kind, submitting, esteeming, encouraging, praying, offering hospitality, fellowshipping with one another. You know, found throughout. We found him in Romans. We found him in Corinthians. We found him in Thessalonians. We found him in Peter. We found him throughout the Bible. But as we were looking at him, there was one that I've saved to last because it covered most all of them. Loving one another. You know, under that umbrella, we found that most of them fell. For without the love, none of them really worked. God cares about the way that we love one another. And loving with a caring heart and with kindness glorifies God. It matters to him how we interact with the people that God places in our life. We are here on earth, a temporary home, say the least, but to continue the mission that God has given us. And what is that mission? We got a new book. And that new book tells us that the new mission, or that God's mission, was to go and make disciples. But the wonderful part about it is that God doesn't expect us to do it alone. God tells us that as Christians, we should work together, and that his plan of redemption involves the church working in unity to reach the people around us. Unity. That word kind of has a familiar ring. Seems like I heard it a couple of weeks ago. How do we show that we're committed to one another? We devote ourselves to members of the church body. We have a responsibility to challenge one another, love one another, serve one another, and do it in a variety of different ways. Our two greatest commandments found in Mark 12:28-31. We're sitting here and it says, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had witnessed, or he had answered them well. Ask him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, or with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment greater than these. Love God and love people. Love is basic to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Loving him and having the desire to follow him should be the fundamental basis for reaching out to those around us. We are transformed by love. Paul tells us in Romans 5:5 that God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. He says it this way. He says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. The world, as we walk amongst it, will recognize us as being different, because love changes the way that we interact and that we speak to one another, doesn't it? In John 13:34-35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Something about the way that we love the people around us should signal to the world that we belong to Jesus. Jesus told his disciples that they should look different because of their love. If our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ is not visible, then we've missed the mark. As I was thinking about that throughout the week, it really placed a heavy burden on my heart. Do I truly show the love of God for my brothers and sisters? Not just within this church, within this building. Do I show it on the outside? And do I show it strong enough that other people see it? Put me in a lot of deep praying, I tell you. Did you know that Jesus prayed for us that we would be united? On the night he was betrayed, Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he also prayed for us. Not only that we would be united with one another, but also with him and the Father. Listen to what the world tells us in John 17, chapters or verses 20 through 26. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also start at the top. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. As we notice, as we look at that, and I'm going to take the time to look at it. Get it here in mind so that I can follow. Although I'll tell you this right now as I look this up, and I set it here. This is a waste of really my time and yours because I can't see the silly thing. I've got my contact in, and I didn't bring my glasses. But I feel better. Thank you. You know, as we look at it, though, he prays for all the believers, past and future, and he prays for their unity and their glory. You know, and the thing that really hit me hard as I was looking through this is, if you are a believer, then these words are what Jesus prayed for you. Jesus was praying for the unity that takes place through the sanctification of believers. Sanctify, meaning that we are set apart for service. Unity takes place through those who are set apart by God's love. You know, this is what Jesus was commanding us as we were looking before in John 13, 34 through 35. And he says his followers have to love each other so that the world may believe in the reality of Jesus' love. That loving relationship of believers to each other is perhaps our greatest witness of our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, God does work in real wondrous ways. Because this morning I've heard the term glory several different times. Well, I was led to look up the word glory in Strong's this week. And Strong says the Greek term means to give glory or to make glorious. And as I've been reading through with Pastor and with the rest of the church in the book of John, I found out that it has been one of John's favorite expressions concerning what would happen to Jesus as a result of his crucifixion and resurrection. The glory of the Father and that of the Son are closely connected. And the death by which Jesus would glorify God would lead to eternal life for the believers. This revelation of Jesus through his disciples is the means of salvation and unity. This unity begins with belief and correct thinking about Jesus and God and the Father. Or Jesus, God the Father. And it was written and preserved in the Word of God, in our Bible. But this correct belief must bear fruit and bring about a life that demonstrates God's love and produces that unity within the believers. As I was further studying, I found a statement in the Bible. It says, it was in the footnotes, and it said, the indwelling of the Father in the Son and the Son in the church is the means of unity and the total expression of God's love. And as I thought about that, I thought, wow. As we look at this last part of chapter 17 and we look at this particular part of Jesus' prayer, we find that it is especially on our behalf. He prayed that all Christians would love each other as one family. And this can only happen when we're in a close relationship with God and when we love our brothers and sister Christians. Like Jesus' symbol of a vine in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, we are all God's children. That doesn't mean that we all have to agree on everything. It doesn't even mean that we must all worship God in the same way. But we must believe in Jesus Christ. We must believe the Bible is true. And we must love and respect each other. Doesn't matter if you're young, if you're old. Doesn't matter where we live, how much education we have, whether we're rich or poor, thank heavens. And it doesn't matter about anything else in our lives. But it does matter that we belong to Jesus and that we belong to each other. Following Jesus directly to pray for each other and to encourage one another, we find it to be a very powerful way to show the world around us that our faith in Jesus is real. When we know Jesus personally, we can remain united. United with God and reunited with our fellow Christians. God has given us the same love that he gave his own son. That's kind of a wow statement just in itself, isn't it? But knowing this requires us that we've got to share our knowledge and our faith. As you look at the final three verses in chapter 17 there. And if I was in Sunday school, I'd just say something to the effect of, Lori, read those. Because she knows I can't see it. But let me tell you that those three verses have encouraged me this past week, and I hope it encourages you just as well. He tells us that we will be with him where he is, and we will behold his glory. The ultimate reason for all believers to know the love of God is that God's love might be replicated, duplicated, made transparent, however you want to say it. But it will be replicated or transparent through us so that we can help to draw the world to Christ. And as we think about what we've got there and what God's Word has told us in that chapter, we say, wow. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? Something to look forward to be with Christ and to see him in all of his glory. I know when I started up here and I started with all of this book, and Pastor asked me a couple of times as I was going through, he says, how long do you think it's going to take you? Every time I went through and I read through this study that I put together here, it got a little longer. It got a little longer. It got a little longer. And I got a little scareder. And I got a little scareder because I'm going to have to stand up there through all of this. So I began to shorten it a little bit here, shorten it a little bit there. Shorten. And finally, I got it into a binder. But I got to tell you, you've got the part I wanted you to have. So I'm going to just close in prayer right here. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'll come back up. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word that you have reserved for us. And Father, that you would just help us to remain in it, Father, that we might be able to show the love that you have given us, Father, that we should as a body become united, and that we should just hang so close to one another, Father, that we would be able to go there, that we would be able to just see where you would take us. Father, we ask that you would be glorified in everything that we do and everything that we say, and Father, people would know that there is a difference in our life, and we just give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.